it's Dave O'Neill, and I'm standing out in a loading bay with Damien Cullinan. How are you, Damien?
Good, mate. Yeah, happy to be out here in the loading bay.
At St Kilda Town Hall.
Yeah.
And we're here for the benefit for refugees.
That's right. It's Asylum Seekers Resource Centre and Christmas gifts. To be honest, I haven't actually...
It's refugee.
There's illegal aid. And,
yeah,
it's not that we don't care. Like, you know, fuck, I wrote a film about it. But
it's true. That's true.
The merger. Yeah. I just haven't paid attention to which particular groups we're helping tonight.
Do you hope
it's for the right side.
You've been busy though doing the wine tour.
I have, yes, with St Paul Collegia, taking our stupid show around the country.
But it's interactive, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's there's a script of sorts, but it's called the Wine Bluffs, and we basically play heightened versions of ourselves, self-described sommeliers of mirth.
Yeah.
And we pretend that we've got our own wineries and we're wine judges and shit like that. So it's pretty obvious after about 10 minutes.
But I love the T-shirt you sell. I'm a wine wanker.
Yeah. Well, that's when things get really interactive, because we have a bit in the middle of the show where we get everyone to stand up and we try and... by process elimination, we try and find the biggest wine wanker in the room.
So I don't drink wine, but I'm around people that do. So what is the sign of the... if they've got bottles in there?
Yeah, well, it comes down to... we slowly eliminate people. We straight away, we say, anyone who's got cask wine at home, you're out.
Yeah, you're out. Yeah, right. Yeah.
We get some people defending us for cooking, and you go, no, it doesn't matter, mate. You're out. And then it usually comes down then to... the people who are like serious storage situations, and their opening gambit will be something like, "Well, in my beach house cellar, I have
I've got
a disused rail tunnel in the Adelaide Hills. That's where I keep my Pinot, of course. But you'd be a fool to keep Syrah in there."
Have you had anyone that's kept stuff off campus, like in the facilities? Because you see that occasionally in storage places where
a lot of off site, yeah. That's always how you know. So they go, "Well, I've got, you know, do you want to hear about my on-site or my off-site storage?"
That's the thing I like about you, Damien. You're a self-starter. Because, I mean, this is one of the many shows... I mean, you've created this show with Collegia, Paul Collegia, and now it's like a touring show that you can tour.
Yeah, it's this touring franchise. It's a Malaysian tour going around at the moment.
Like, you're the new Puppetry of the Penis.
We are. Well, in fact, our sequel's going to be Puppetry of the Pinot.
Yes, I like it.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, it's a niche, but it's a massive niche.
It is. Well, accidentally we discovered that people who drink wine are rich, so they buy tickets.
That's a really good point. It's middle class, isn't it?
Yeah, Marion Carroll from Channel 7 Comedy, she came into it twice to try and work out why it was so popular. And she said, "You know what, Damo, no one else is making comedy for rich cunts." So, well done.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's just a niche.
And we go them. That's the other thing. And people will bring their rich wine wanker mate back just to see them get taken down.
That's a great idea. It's like Tom Seger is now... he's absolutely nailed the suburban football thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And which is, again, a different market. Mm. You'd argue a more blue-collar market.
Yeah.
But you've nailed the bloody middle class.
Yeah, but it still works anywhere. Like, we... our last show was in the Hayfield Memorial Hall. It's a timber town in Gippsland.
Home of Will Anderson.
Indeed.
Yep.
And it doesn't really matter. Like, you know, we did it in Kahuna.
I know Kahuna, and you're a Chuka.
And the people didn't know what they were coming to. It was just like it was comedy night at the big Kahuna Festival.
They had
a tandoori dinner to warm up for the wine show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when we did the show, when we did the wine wanker, everyone was out, like, in the middle of it. Like, there was no one left normally when we were like battling. No one had a cellar. There was one bike in town who tasted Grange Hermitage. That's because he worked at a bottle shop and then a rep come around and do a tasting. So, but it still works.
And Comedy Festival, I heard you're doing a show next year, is that right?
I'm doing a show called Stress Test, Melbourne Town Hall. So it's...
how many shows have you done, you reckon? Like solo shows over the years? I remember going to your dance one, which was great.
I keep thinking I've done 20, but something like that.
Yeah.
Be close to that. With, you know, not all solo, but...
no. Well, you know what? I'm a solo performer too, but occasionally I do stuff with other people, and it's just fun.
Yeah.
And it's not as lonely.
Yeah, that's what's been fun doing.
Collegia.
With Collegia, and I did a show just before that called Swingman.
Was that with your dancers, didn't you?
Yeah, I had swing dancers in the show. I had one each night, and they alternated. But,
was that another niche, or was that's even more niche though?
Yeah, it was too niche. yeah. to be honest. It came for a reason. I wanted to learn how to swing dance, and I just never had the opportunity. And I thought I had that bolt upright in bed, and I went, if I do a show about learning how to do it, then...
Yeah.
Which is good. And there is there's a swing dancing market out there, but unlike wine drinkers, they are tight asses. Like, they sit on a drink all night.
There's not many of them either.
No, it's bigger than you think.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And because I was connected to the world, I was writing a blog about it, and the Swing Patrol in Melbourne were kind of sponsoring it. There was a market there, but not as big as... And then when we toured it to like Perth Fringe and Adelaide Fringe, they were nice. We didn't even have any swing dancers there at all.
Yeah, wow.
And a lot of other people kind of go, love the show, but other people were like, we don't even know what that means.
Yeah,
it was called Swing Man. It was like, don't know what it means.
Probably was a show about swingers.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's Stress Test about?
I had a heart attack.
Mate, you're trying to compete with Brad Oakes, a regular performer on this podcast.
I did.
And you know, look, I don't want to knock Oaksy. I'm going to get him on in a minute because he's also at this gig. But he's a large man.
Yeah.
And you'd think, but you are quite fit.
Yeah, I'm fitter than I was when it happened. 6 months ago, I just had a heart attack out of the blue playing indoor cricket.
Oh, wow.
Full.
Similar to Matt full, Parkinson.
Yeah, yeah. Same another club, same team.
Same.
Yeah, same court.
You're joking.
And ironically, or coincidentally, Matt restarted playing the week after I had my heart attack.
Wow, because people don't know Matt Parkinson, what was one half the Empty Pockets, a legendary comedy group, and he's now on the Chase as the...
Yeah, he's Goliath, yeah.
Yeah, and he had quite a bad heart.
He had a hereditary heart thing that he didn't know about, and basically his heart completely stopped. He was clinically dead.
On the same court that you
same
had yours.
Court, yeah. And I actually kept batting. I was batting with Matt Green.
I know Matt Green, great guy.
Great guy, comedian, kind of actor. Matty...
Because people sometimes have heart attacks on golf courses and keep playing.
Yeah, yeah, but it was a full heart attack. It wasn't partial. I just took a while to realise what was happening. And we were batting pretty well, Dave. we were approaching the Holy Grail of 50 for a batting pair, and so I saw it out, and then I got Matt to drive me to the hospital.
Wow.
Which is only just down the road.
And you don't smoke, but you drink, but you don't
no,
smoke.
I drink. Yeah, so I've stopped drinking. And change diet. I'm kind of just starting to have I had a family thing last week to throw my dad's ashes
away. Saw that on Facebook, Damien. Yeah.
So we opened up the last box of dad's wine. So I had a couple. I'm kind of back. Yeah, I'm back tentatively into that.
Yeah,
world.
Right.
But yeah, the show is going to be called Stress Test, and it's going to be set in a cardio rehab where they've called me in for my, because the stress test is a test they do to see the performance of your heart. But when I get into the cardio rehab, what I realised that the stress test they've set for me is I have to do a comedy festival show.
Oh, wow.
So there's kind of a disembodied voice of a nurse who's kind of setting me tasks and asking me questions and leading the story in different directions. So.
I look forward to seeing it.
Mm.
And good luck tonight.
Thanks, mate.
For the refugees. We're doing it for the refugees.
For the refugees. Yeah.
And thanks, Kevin. I haven't had you on the podcast before. I'd love to get you on for a longer chat.
Yeah, no worries.
I want to talk about the merge. I want to talk about lots of things with you. But we'll do it another time.
Because we are pretty much... And the bowels
in
the loading bay of the town hall.
Security guard is looking at us.
Yeah.
And we're here with Monica Dulla, the organiser and comedian. How are you, Moni?
Hello, how are you, Dave?
I'm good, and good on you for organising this benefit.
Yeah, it's great. We just got over 400 people come along, and it's fantastic, isn't it? The hall's just, the roof's lifting.
Now, I do try to reminisce on this podcast when I first met the comics, and I first met you at my first ever gig.
Yes, at La Joke.
At 1990.
Yeah, and you did the photocopier joke.
That's right, and you did the joke about going to job interviews and trying to eat Toblerone.
Hiding it up my sleeve, yeah.
So we've both been doing it for 30 years.
I know. I had a break then after that for a bit, but then I came back strong again in 98. Yeah.
You didn't break for... You would have broken out in 93 or 94, yeah?
About 93, yeah. Had a sort of death in the family and just thought, right, I need to sidestep for a bit, and then back onto it I was.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And you're very funny. You were funny then, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh, well, I just loved it. People have a big fat laugh. That's my goal, really.
And you, of that night, I remember who was hosting. Tim Smith was hosting.
Yes.
Danny Katz was headlining, the rider.
Yep.
They're both really funny, but they both stopped and we're still going.
Yeah, exactly. We powered on. We powered on. It was great, that La Joke, wasn't it? And then the Last Laugh.
It was great.
Yeah.
La Joke was great. Yeah. And of course, you do a lot of gigs. You're a country girl.
Yep.
And I've done your town.
Yep. Echuca and Lockie Lockington.
Yeah, Lockington.
Yep.
And you do a lot of shows in the country.
Yeah, yeah. I got you and Tom Gleason that night to come along. That was great. Yeah. No, I just believe that, you know, you've got to take the laughs out of the country because it's, you know, obviously they can't get into the city and it's pretty expensive for them. Like, you've got to have, you know, petrol, stay the night, food, blah, blah.
Well, I know. Occasionally I get a phone call and they go, we're a country women's organisation. We need a comic. And I just go, I'll just get your Monica Dullard's phone number.
Because
that is your, your ultimate crowd, is it?
Well, that's right. I'm sort of, I'm hitting, like, I'm doing the 55 pluses now. And, but I can do it, you know, comedy to anyone. But definitely I'm doing a show.
Yeah, but don't we prefer? We prefer people out. I'm 55.
Yeah.
Tonight it's an older crowd.
Yeah, it's an older crowd. And they just, I know, they laugh more, I reckon.
I reckon, and they get all my references to 80s stuff.
Exactly, they don't have their arms folded, they're just laughing.
They're not on their phones. They're not on their phones, Monty.
No, they're laughing.
Okay, boomers, all right, settle down, except I'm Gen X, so.
I'm cusp of boomer, I reckon,
you're about my age, though.
Yeah, roughly, maybe a bit older.
But it's great because you kind of, I was talking to Damien Callan and he's sort of creating his own circuit and you're doing a similar thing.
Yeah, I've got my own circuit, do a show called Aging with Attitude, so that goes boom, like in the Seniors Festival.
And you're also a librarian.
I am a librarian.
You've got a librarian show.
Yeah, I can't say it. Librarian, yes, so I've got a librarian show, like Monica Dullard is and they're mad for it. The librarians come to that and library technicians and anyone who loves libraries, which is everyone.
I was talking to Ben Knight on the last podcast, and he's a teacher. So he does a show just called Teacher.
Oh, right,
So great. It's a market.
Actually, I might just do library next time,
Just library.
And then old,
I'll join you for old.
Yeah, old would be good.
What am I doing? We're middle-aged, though.
We've got to get out there.
We're actually middle-aged.
Yeah, we'll go to every performing arts place, bring Oaksy with us and just go for it. Yeah.
Just get them middle-aged. And we don't mind if they bring their teenagers.
We don't care.
It's good to pick on them.
Because you can talk about them.
I can talk to the teenagers. I've got teenagers. I can talk to them.
Yeah, and I've got nephews and nieces. But you're better at it than me, that stuff.
Because I live it every day, Mom. I live it every day. Look, I'm weary. Just the last thing. Why did you organise a benefit for the refugee cause?
Because I just, you know, I think that people really want to do something about it and that people were stuck. They didn't know what to do or how to support refugees or how to support a cause. So they'll come for a big fat laugh and they'll just happily give their money and they put in money in the bucket as well. They'll buy a barrack as well. That's a way of getting everyone. And it's community. You know, we're all in there and now they're all chatting about it and talking about it and they're going to write letters and they're going to, you know, and 100% of the profits go to the organisations, BASP and Refugee Legal. So I just think I thought people needed a way in and I thought I can only do it through comedy. I can't,
I can't have standing for seats or
anything like that. No, I have a fate. You can't do that. But we can do comedy. And, you know, you lot are bloody marvellous. As, you know, David Mann says, the comedians are always standing up and, you know, on the line and give their time and, you know.
Well, one of the guys.
Very generous.
I see Arnold Sable down my local street.
Yeah.
You know Arnold
Sable,
the writer, and he's been a refugee.
Yeah, exactly.
He wrote a great book called Café Sherazade. And he's been a big refugee advocate. And he's in constant contact with that comic who's been locked up, who's just been released in New Zealand.
Yeah.
For us.
I know. And he wrote a book on his,
on his phone
by texting. Brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I see him.
The Shami. He was good. Yeah. He's great.
And Arnold gives me regular updates on what's going on.
Yeah. And I think, I just think like, apparently there's 9,000 refugees that are here in Australia that can't get Medicare, can't get work, and not allowed to study. I mean, that's just stateless. That's just cruel.
I know, and the thing is that people don't realise they're hardworking people.
Oh, I know, and that's how Australia was built in a way.
Except for the
first people, after the first people were knocked off. But
part of it, the Aboriginals were here.
Yeah, and after that, so
it's all the. Oh yes, you've got to go, Monty.
Yeah.
Okay.
All the you know. So we're here for you, the refugees, and it's been a great night. And Dave O'Neill, you absolutely rocked.
Oh, come on, Monty.
Come on, Monty. Good on you, Dave.
We're here on The Debrief with Brad Oakes, regular, most often appearer on this podcast. You've already been mentioned several times by Monica and Damo. How are you, Brad?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now,
It's good to be next to you, not in the back of the car.
I know, we're sitting in the hall, St Kilda Town Hall.
Yeah.
And mystery sound, hang on. Can you guess what that was? It's opening of a beer can.
No, I broke my knuckles.
Now, Damon Callanan had a heart attack.
I know.
He's doing your shit.
I know. Totally. I mean, I did something and then next thing you know, everyone goes, oh, there's a good career move. he's about to find out it wasn't.
Now, what are your feelings about benefits? You've done a lot in your time.
Oh, look, I am. I separated into a number of things. Like, the first benefit I ever did was while I was still an unpaid comedian.
Yeah.
And I was asked to headline, and I just, you know, I think I hadn't even been doing comedy a year, and my head just swelled. I went, sure, I'll be happy to do that. And we did it at Hearts Polaris at an old gig in Carlton.
Oh, my God.
And anyway, it was for a young woman who was known as a single mum who was trying to raise money to get a housing loan to get a housing commission place. And
worthy cause.
Exactly. And it was a terrible night. Yeah. We were all shit. I thought I was going to save the day. Anyway, I went into the toilets to have my 50th nervous wee, and the lights were off in the men's toilets, and I've gone, oh, God. And so I turned the lights on, and I hear this voice go, turn the fucking lights off, you fucking get there.
God.
And I look, and it's the woman that we're doing the benefit for, right, lying with her legs sticking out from under the cubicle door. What's happened is, at half time, she's grabbed the money from the
benefit
and gone and scored some smack.
Oh, no.
So I was a little bit jaundiced. And then the next major benefit I did, Pete Rosewarne said to me, who's a marvellous comedian, just said to me, oh, look, I have to go. I have to leave. I have to go to a party.
So he wanted to go first.
Yeah, he said, would you mind taking my spot? And I was so honoured. Oh, all right, I'll headline. Right.
Where was that? Do you remember where that was?
It was at the Espy, in the dressing room. Anyway, he went on. He just killed. You know, they loved
obliterated.
Him.
Yeah,
yeah. They had a break. And when I went on, I barely in cricket parlance, I barely troubled the scorers. And
they're clapping for you now, Brad.
And I came on stage and I said, I saw Pete there having a drink, I said, I thought you had to go to a party. I said, nah. Just didn't want to go on. Didn't want to go on last. And I thought, see, all right, I'm learning. And it's like being in Robin Hood's gang, you know?
Yes.
You're learning.
And you've been here to this town hall, the St Kilda Town Hall we're in. You've been here before?
Well, yeah, I have been here. But a friend of mine, back when I started, there was a guy I worked with, big Bill Tonight. You remember Bill?
Oh, I love Bill Tonight. He's a drama teacher now in... up in the Daniels.
Yeah, great.
They had that great joke. I always hate that ad. Red, red, ready, red, 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 ready, red rooster. Until I went to a red rooster and the kid went, may I help you? That's my favourite. One of my favourites.
Yeah.
And he does the one about, I live in the Dandenongs where, you know, the people have interesting names. There's a family with Buttercup and Sunshine. And they got a little more cynical as they got on. The third one's called Shithead. And
yeah.
Something like that.
I'll tell you a story about him. Let's say it wasn't him, right? Let's say it was someone else. But he knew, who was working as a security guard in this very town hall.
Oh, wow.
In the 90s, early 90s, when it caught fire.
Oh, it caught fire, didn't it?
That's right. And whoever the security guard was, and it wasn't Bill.
It wasn't Bill.
Was woken up by the fire brigade.
Fantastic, he fell asleep.
Yeah, he said, you know that, because back then, there were three jobs you did. As a comedian, you could be a security guard working Blockbuster or do an all-night servo job.
Yeah, that's, yeah, yeah.
And,
much better.
Bill had a family. There's some really good artwork here. I couldn't even begin to describe that.
No, it's quite erotic.
I would say homoerotic.
Homoerotic. Yeah. Is it? Who's with the blood nose? Is that Red Hot Chili Pepper? Is it?
I thought it was Arch Barker.
It looks like Arch Barker with long hair.
Mm.
Maybe they're all St Kilda Identities. I don't know any of them. Hughie's not on there. He's a St Kilda Identity. Judith Lucy was on tonight. Is it on there?
Yeah, she was great.
Very, very funny woman.
Very funny. You went well?
No, it was good fun. But you've got to get out there, Brad. So get out there.
No, I've got plenty of time.
Oh, okay. Don't get out there.
I think they should turn the lights on in the hall, though.
Make it a bit darker. That's in the questions, what went wrong and what went right. That's the organisational hazard. It's too light. And what is the beer they've got here? It's weird.
I don't know, but it looks like it's... It looks like it's from a movie where they said, we can't have any product.
Yeah. They made a generic one.
We have to make a generic looking beer. Is there any way you could take a photo of that and include that in the podcast?
Yes, I will. Yeah. I will. I'll take it now. Yeah. Brad Oakes, well, you'll be on the podcast again soon anyway, because we're always working together. But
People should say, coming the holidays, where do they want us to come to, don't they?
Yeah, true. Let us know what beach resort you want us to come to, because we'll come. We've done gigs in Anglesey, Lawn, Rosebud, Bansdale, any Victorian places.
Port
Melbourne. Yeah. Bondi. I'd love you at Bondi. That'd be nice.
There's a beach up on the Murray.
There is, yeah. Tokemoor.
And there's one in Wagga.
We'll go anywhere.
Yeah, we will.
Let us know. Thanks
for having me.
Last person I'll chat to is Kirsty Wiebeck. Did I always say your name wrong, Kirsty Wiebeck?
No, you just said it right, Wiebeck. You actually said it right.
She's been on the podcast before and she's about to go on. Why did you get involved in this benefit, Kirsty?
Because it sounded like a really good gig and I love Monica. And Monica actually gave me my first ever gala when I was not ready to do my first ever gala.
Oh, really? Yeah, she's the best. I love Monica Dallard, we're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, Monica Dallard. Oh. Yeah, no, she's unreal. I was literally 8 months in. And I told her tonight that I think I got 3 laughs in my 6-minute set, and she claims that's not true. And I told her that I still use the gear I used that night, but now it's got jokes in it.
Yeah. You'll smash it, because as you were saying, are they very woke? They are pretty woke. But they're kind of an older crowd, I'd have to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
But they'll love you.
I'll remind them of their grandsons.
Oh, boy. And have I seen you since we did Aubrey together, which featured on this podcast?
I don't think so. I don't think we have.
We were just laughing. But I keep telling the story about how I fat-shamed a young man and then got abused by the audience. And I'd forgotten the bit, though. I doubled down on it, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. You doubled down. Like, I was telling another comedian the story the other day, because there's not many gig stories that make me laugh that much in the retelling. Like, I rarely retell a gig story, but... I love retelling that one because they were yelling at you to apologise for fat-shaming this kid.
A fat kid down the front. I said, oh, my son's turned up. Everyone, look at this kid. Did a few fat jokes and then they're yelling, apologise. And then what did I do?
And then you were like, what? Nah, he is fat. And they were like, apologise. And then you panicked and just brought me onto this room that was just hating us all.
Come on, they loved you. I think they loved you. They hated me. And when I said, my son... He's concerned about the environment. They all cheered, and I said, I don't give a fuck. And they all started booing me. I think I said to you in the car, that's the last uni I ever do. But you can do you. You'd be fine at unis.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Now, what's your comedy festival show? I saw it on sale. What's it called?
It's called Gosh.
Gosh.
Yeah, with an exclamation mark. So don't forget the exclamation mark.
Yeah, right. And that's on sale now.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Have you got... What venue is it?
Oh, I wish you
it
had
was the
not
Imperial,
asked.
Wasn't it? And then they just stopped doing.
Yeah, the Imperial stopped like 2 days ago. So, I am in negotiations with another venue.
Yeah,
so
great.
I'm not 100% sure, but I definitely have another venue.
Oh, great! All right.
Yeah, but I'll announce it this week because people are already buying tickets, and I want to nip it in the bud before.
Get somewhere. People love it. You're popular.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Yeah, this podcast listens to at least 40 people. So
every single one's going to buy a ticket to my show.
Good.
So there you go. That's $100.
Yeah.
I'm glad I just bought a place.
I'm just anxious that you've got to go on, so I'll let you go, Kirsty.
No worries.
But we'll do this again another time.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Beautiful.
Maybe Wagga this time. Wagga Uni.
After you call a kid fat.
Yeah. I won't be making that mistake. I am fat. But... Thanks, Kirsty.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We won't do the questions, but it's been a great night here at the Refugees Benefit. Get involved. Go to the Refugees Centre website. Donate some money. I've donated my time. Put a couple of grand in the bucket. Of course, I'm a generous man. All right. Thanks for listening. I'll speak to you again. Ooh, chuck-a-lugga, ooh, chuck-a-lugga.